night of NBA action yesterday, and the Bulls were at the forefront with an excellent comeback win against the Bucks at the United Center last night, trailing by 11 points with about 2.5 minutes to go. They turned it on and were able to win 119-113 in overtime. And that's, I have to say, not just the comeback, Tyler, but the fact that they were able to, in overtime, after trailing by four, sometimes you get concerned. Like, if you get behind in overtime, it can quickly slip away from you, especially because it's only 5 minutes. But the Bulls kept on fighting. They fell behind quickly by four in overtime. And they found a way to, you know, Vooch with a big shot, no tee. DeMar DeRozan, 10 of the 13 points in overtime came from DeMar DeRozan. He capped a 40-point night. It was a spectacular night at the United Center, and it was the type of effort that Bulls fans have been longing for from the Bulls each and every night.
You know what also sort of struck me, too, was, and maybe I didn't see the whole scope of it because you're not there, seemed like people stayed throughout most of the game, even though they were down 11 with about 2.5 minutes left. Like, that's a point where, okay, there's a timeout here, there's a foul here, ball goes out of bounds. You see people start to flood out. It felt like there was still a pretty big contingent left for that overtime period. It felt like it got loud at certain points, and you don't usually get that when your team was down 11 points with 2.5 to go. This was a total team effort, too. It kind of, for me, it mirrored what we saw in the comeback against the Knicks, where everyone took turns down the stretch making a big play.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at those final 2.5 minutes, all five guys that were out there, it was the five starters. It was Vooch, it was DeRozan, it was LaVine, it was Ayo, and it was Patrick Williams. All five of those guys made some sort of big play down the stretch.
Yes.
I mean, Zach LaVine, he hits the big step back three. DeRozan with the steal. Ayo with the slam. Patrick Williams played some really good defense and got a big rebound, too. And Vooch hit a big three.
Yeah.
So
no,
it was a total team effort to close that thing out.
It absolutely was. And interestingly, DeMar DeRozan, you mentioned it, the steal, right? Like, we're not oftentimes praising DeMar DeRozan for his, you know, defensive ability, but he really did make a spectacular play on the steal near the end of the game to tie it up, where he then springs Ayo for the dunk. And Ayo, good for him, because Giannis was racing down his, you know, right down his back there, but he had just enough to slam it down. And actually, Giannis, I do believe, got away with a foul on that one. Yeah. They very easily could have given that an and one and wrapped things up for the Bulls, but the refs chose that was the whole superstar call there, where Giannis,
I think,
was,
that would have been a sixth,
it
too,
would,
right?
Yeah, he had five fouls. So the refs chose not to call the foul on Giannis. And you know what? It's okay, because you can look back and the Bulls get the win. But nevertheless, it was a thrilling way to win. And as I said at the top of the show, this is the reason why you can't blow it up if you're the Bulls, because you have enough talent that they can do things like they did last night. You just need more consistent effort. And I don't know, without your first round pick, unless it lands in the top four, that's the reason. You can't jettison Vooch or DeRozan or LaVine if you're the Bulls, in my opinion. You have to ride with these guys. You've put this roster together. I don't think trading DeRozan, you know, for a late first rounder really is going to amount to much for the future of this team. I think the truth is, if you're the Bulls, you need to ride with DeMar. You need to hope that this team continues to play well and you can get into the playoffs and build again on what you did, what you started last year, right? And the hope is, again, I understand it's not a championship level team, but the effort they gave you last night is exactly the reason why I don't think blowing it up is in the cards, because you can't just, for a less than 50%, you know, I think it's 48.5% chance that if they tank, they could land a top four pick if they got high lottery odds. And that's just not enough, Tyler, you know, to trade some of these key assets in hopes that you somehow, some way, land a top four pick. If you missed it, here are the sounds of the Bulls' comeback last night against the Bucks at the United Center.
Giannis picks up DeRozan. Tried the pocket pass, got it back. Working on Giannis, and he forced it in.
Good move by Devo.
LaVine. Oh, shot by LaVine. Yep. LaVine Curry. 6-point game, a minute 50. Rotation to Giannis. No! Levine tapped it. Kosubu's got it. 4-point game. 18 seconds left. Levine gets it to DeRozan inside, and it's a 2-point game.
2-point game.
Vucevic for the lead, a three! Just like he did in Milwaukee, a clutch try by Vucevic! DeRozan, crossover for the lead, gets it!
Oh, the ball is DeRozan. That's game time, game time, game time! You can drive home safely, Chicago, beat beat.
The comeback of the season to knock off Milwaukee for their second win against the Bucks this year.
That win at the United Center, highlights on NBC Sports Chicago. Adam Amin and Stacey King on the call there. And that moves the Bulls to 15-19 on the year. Thrilling comeback again. And that, of course, pushes them in a tie in that 10 slot with the Toronto Raptors. So right now, if the season ended today, the Bulls would partake in the play-in tournament to try and get into the playoffs. And DeMar DeRozan, absolutely spectacular last night, going for 42 points. Just a ridiculous line yet again. 10 boards, 5 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks on 15 of 25 shooting. And, of course, 10 of the Bulls, 13 points in OT. Meanwhile, Giannis on the other side of the ball for the Bucks goes for 45 points and a career-high 22 rebounds. Again, we haven't had a game like that since yesterday when Luka did it.
Yep.
Nevertheless, Giannis does it in a loss for the Bucks. Good news for the Bulls there.
It's one of those things, too, where so much of what the Bulls' struggles were was questioning the defense, right? And in regulation, you held a high-powered Bucks team, albeit without a couple starters, but there was still Giannis there. And you held that team to 106 points in regulation, which maybe for some old head basketball fans sounds like a lot, right? Like, you're used to seeing games in the 90s and even 80s in terms of points scored. But in the new age of the NBA, where teams are scoring 115, 118 points every single night, holding a team at a high caliber like the Bucks are to 106 points in regulation, that means the defense is doing something out there. And part of, I mentioned the way that this team kind of played team basketball at the end. It was on both ends of the floor, too. It was not just on offense where all these guys were coming through and hitting big shots. It was defensively, too. Zach looked way more engaged defensively and has looked way more engaged defensively the last couple games, pretty much since that article came out from Shams and Darnell Mayberry.
Yep.
Io's a defensive-minded player. DeRozan got the big steal last night. Patrick Williams, I know Giannis had a 40-plus point game yesterday, but Patrick Williams caused some turnovers down the stretch and caused some tough shots for Giannis. I think he made life really difficult for him at times. Giannis, what he did was he would bully his way to the basket a lot and kind of get downhill, get to the basket that way. But you saw at the end, Patrick Williams forced him into some mid-range twos.
Yeah.
And Giannis is not comfortable shooting a lot of those as much as when he can get downhill.
How about the travel, too, at the end of regulation, the forcing him into a spot where, truth be told, even if, you know, he moved his foot, so he got called for the travel, but even the shot was an ugly shot that he put up and was not clearly not going in. And he got off to a very strong start. Now, I don't remember exactly how many he had at half, but he closed out with 45 points, but it came on 17 of 39 shooting. Mm-hmm. Like, that's doing some real work on Giannis when you hold him under 50% from the floor and significantly under. So the Bulls did a great job defensively. Listen, 45 points, you say, okay. But again, he was taking the majority of the shots, to your point, because they were, you know, missing Middleton and Holiday as well. So, but the question I think you can ask, rightly so, is, was the driving factor behind why the Bulls refused to give up, because one of the biggest nemesis, one of the most hated man in the city of Chicago these days in terms of sports, was he responsible for fueling that comeback?
And things get a little chippy here. Matthews and DeRozan had to be separated.
Well, it was Grayson Allen always in the middle of it.
Allen's in the midst of it. Let's say I get the feeling that you're going to see something here when they show the replay. DeRozan still jawing, and I can understand his frustration.
Let's take a look at it. Let's see what happened.
I want to see this.
Was there something extra after the?
Grayson Allen. Listen, every time something like this happens, his go-to default setting is to do something a little extra.
Yeah, he
puts his hands up and says, "Oh well, I didn't do anything at all."
Well described there by Adam Amin. The go-to default setting. It's the factory default is douche on Grayson Allen, and he went right back to it last night. We've seen it too many times here in Chicago, and I do think that absolutely helped fuel the Bulls' never-say-die attitude late in that game when they were trailing by 11 with 2.5 to go. DeMar DeRozan was asked in the post-game if Grayson Allen apologized.
Did he apologize to you in the moment?
Nah, I wasn't expecting him to.
You don't usually react like that. Did you feel like it was a cheap shot? We all kind of know his track record.
His track record. You know, if it was Boban, you know, I wouldn't have did nothing. You know, but, you know, who knows? I didn't know if it was on purpose or what happened. I just felt the excessive hit. That's all it was. So,
last night was one of the few nights I was like, boy, I wish the Bulls still had Bobby Portis on the roster, because I know he knows how to go after a guy and punch him in the face. Because Grayson Allen was definitely longing for one of those last night.
Yeah,
he was doing his best.
Unfortunately, Bobby was on the other side, and Bobby had a nice game yesterday, too,
yes,
with
did.
20 points off the bench. But listen, if someone were to do something to Grayson Allen, I think you'd see the city of Chicago make a GoFundMe in the quickest of manners, and that thing would fill up pretty quickly.
To cover any fine, for sure,
yes.
No doubt about it. Quickly, before we break here, I do want to play. It wasn't so the Bulls' comeback was absolutely spectacular last night, but it wasn't. I don't believe it was the best in the NBA.
Because there were a couple other really
absolutely,
good ones.
But in particular, Zion led the Pelicans to a comeback win where he scored the final 13 Pelican points. He went on a 13-0 run to close out the game, right? And the Pelicans end up winning last night. Zion Williamson sets a career high, and this was a moment here where Zion, you thought DeRozan steal was great. Well, Zion went ahead and grabbed a steal and a go-ahead bucket for the Pelicans, and I had to ask you the question, is Stacey King moonlighting doing Pelican games? Listen to this call. That's Antonio Daniels, who sounds like a young Stacey King.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Joe, what are we seeing? We are seeing a superstar in the making right now.
Antonio Daniels on the call there as the Pelicans win 119-118 over the T-Wolves. Zion Williamson, a new career high, 43 points.
Listen, Antonio's got to work on some catchphrases here, because that's really like... Stacy is all about he's got him loaded up. Like, I remember, I don't know if this thing still exists, but there used to be the Stacy King soundboard.
Yes, I recall, of course.
And then I remember there was the talking bobblehead night too. Mm-hmm. And I remember the lines for that game all the way around the United Center to get in before tip off that night. But it was, he's got to get the catchphrases down, but I think he's got like the passion in him to sound just like Stacey.
And the point is, he sounds voice-wise very similar to Stacey King. 312-332-3776. Justin Fields spoke yesterday, talked about how important a win would be for this Bears team. And interestingly enough, if you're rooting for the Bears to lose games so they can have a higher draft pick, well, you're not going to like what I have to share with you coming up next here on ESPN 1000.
Miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bop, 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 bop.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Tyler Aki, as we're in for Cap and J-Hood this morning here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. So So Justin Fields met the media yesterday, and he talked about the team continuing to play hard and just what a W would mean for this team.
Yeah, I mean, it feels great. I know we're on a losing streak right now, but, you know, I think, you know, winning this week and winning the last week of the season, it, you know, be great momentum going into the offseason. So, and, you know, I think it's really just the it just feel good, you know, just, you know, ending the game with the win because we're on a 8-game losing streak or something like that. But, just feeling good, just the amount of work we put in and just the attitude of everybody in the building. You know, just that, you know, positive mindset and, you know, going in to practice and to meeting room, just wanting to get better. So just the work that we put in during the week and, you know, it paying off with the win, that definitely be huge for sure.
No real surprise there that Justin Fields is keeping that positive mentality. They're out there. They're competitive. They want to win. So that's not a surprise. Of course, I do think Bears fans at this point, if you're being realistic about what would be best for the organization, you understand that you hope the team plays hard, but if they could still lose the final two games, that would probably be in the best interest of the team. If that's what you're rooting for, if you think that would be the, you know, best way for the season to play out, well, don't look at what Seth Walder has put together on ESPN.com today, because ESPN ran some simulations, right, over the last 2 weeks of projecting final scores. And in ESPN.com's projections here, they have the Bears winning out the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. So I look through this, and it gives you every single game, and it projects out the final standings for everyone. So here's where the Bears would be picking in this situation. They would be picking fifth instead of as high as first all of a sudden. Now, I will say, this also has the Texans winning out as well. So actually, it is the Arizona Cardinals that end up with the number one overall pick, followed by the Indianapolis Colts, then the Texans, then the Broncos, and then it would be the Bears at 5-12, according to these simulations. Now, I think both you and I find it highly unlikely that the Bears and the Texans end the season a combined 4-0, right? The two worst teams in football.
Yeah.
Even though these franchises are not run well, I find it extremely difficult to believe that those two teams will end the season 4-0.
Now, I'll say this. I wouldn't predict it, right? But it doesn't seem as unlikely as their records would suggest right now, because going into this game, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears beat the Lions. Part of the reality of the NFL is that on a week in and week out basis, you know, generally, especially when a team like the Bears have lost 8 in a row, but they're giving good efforts week in and week out, like they're ahead of the Bills 10-6 at halftime last week. You know, they're playing tough with the Eagles the week before, two of the best teams in the league. The Lions, if the Lions, you know, have a situation where they play poorly, a couple of early turnovers, I don't think the Lions have such a huge talent disparity with the Bears like the Bills and Eagles do, that eventually, over a 60-minute game, those two teams just overwhelm the Bears, even though the Bears gave good effort. If the Lions don't have a good game, it's certainly possible that Justin Fields, you know, indoors in a, you know, controlled environment, I think he could have enough, score enough points. And if the Lions have some issues, maybe Jared Goff has a bad turnover for whatever reason, I could see a path where the Bears beat the Lions. And then, oh, by the way, the following week against the Vikings, where it's very possible, you know, Kevin O'Connell could be sitting most of his players for the Vikings, and because they don't have the bye, but they have everything wrapped up in the NFC. And so I could see a scenario where up against the Vikings, who are playing for nothing but want to rest their key players, I could easily see them going in and winning that final game of the season. So it doesn't seem as outlandish as maybe their record would suggest. And then the Texans, well, we've kind of laid out a path for them as well. And we know with their head coach, Lovie Smith, you know, the idea of tanking is certainly not in his vocabulary.
Just in general. I mean, you're competing at any time. I mean, if you're competing, you compete to win, right? So you just kind of start with that. And for our program, I've talked about it for a period of time. Our last games are in our division. We want to eventually take over the division. And for us to have have an opportunity to have a winning record in our division is pretty important to our guys. And, yeah, that's how I see it. That's how we see it. You see how the guys are competing. I mean, that's how they see it. You play to win at all times.
No surprise there that Lovie Smith emphasizing what he's always done. And I know Sylvie's been on this for a long time. Sylvie Smith, the king of closing out seasons with, you know, victories that ultimately mean nothing to the actual season, but pad the stats, right? And so Lovie Smith, no doubt, is going to be pushing the Texans to try their hardest. And they have the Jaguars this week. And it lines up, as we just pointed out, with the Titans on Thursday Night Football. The Jaguars, who are playing the Texans, don't really have a whole lot of incentive to win this week. Now, they're not going to go in and lie down, but maybe they will rest some key players against the Texans because they know the following week they're playing the Titans in a win to go to the playoffs or lose and go home situation. And then the final week, the Texans are heading to Indianapolis to take on Jeff Saturday's Colts.
Which, as bad as the Texans have been in the NFL this season, but Colts over the last, 6-7 weeks have been worse. They are the worst team in football.
No doubt about it.
From the eye test. And you look at the Texans, kind of like what the Bears have been, the Texans have been
scrappy,
a frisky team the last couple of weeks. They took the Chiefs to the brink. They took them to overtime. They had the Cowboys. They were in control for almost that entire game until it gets away at the end. So I don't see a situation where these two teams go 4-0, that being the Texans and the Bears, to close out the season. But there will be wins. I don't think that they're going to go 0-4. In fact, I would say it's more likely that they go 4-0 than 0-4.
Yeah, I agree with that assessment. Let's try Chase, who's on the south side. Chase, you're on ESPN 1000, Mel Arnacki in for Cap and Jay Hood.
Hey, what's happening, fellas? How you guys doing?
Doing well, man. How about you?
I'm good, man. So I wanted to shed some light on that Claypool trade. I kind of understand why people are a little bit sour on that trade. But people also don't remember that the fact is that, I don't know if people have forgotten that, the Bears still have second round pick in the Ravens. Now, it might not be as high as theirs, but still in all, you still have that second round pick. And then on top of that, the free agency and the receivers was really not that good. So I kind of understood why Poles did what he did as far as making that trade. And you still got, it's sort of like an off-season trade for this upcoming season. So even if you don't get no production from him this season, you still have a full off-season with him. Then on top of that, another thing you have to think about this too. Let's say the Bears do lose out and they end up with the number one overall pick or at worst case number two. You can still, let's say a team like the Colts trade up with you. You can fleece them and maybe get a first round. I mean, get next year first round and get a second round pick. Get their second round pick, which may not be as high as theirs would have been, but it's still going to be high. So it's like you made a trade with the Claypool pick and you still got a high 2 second round pick. Maybe in the third and the first, so it's that's just my opinion on it. I mean, it's still early in the trade, but I'm still giving it a chance to develop this trade before I say it's a disappointment. You know what I mean? That's all I'm just saying. That's just my opinion on it. Now we still that's how I look at it.
Chase, are you partial to Chase Claypool because his name is Chase? Be honest.
Well, that too. But I'm just saying, I'm not ready to jump off. I'm not ready to go that route yet. Because of the fact that they still have their own second round. They still have a second round pick from the trade they made with Roquan. And even though it's not going to be that high, but the fact of the matter is you still have a second round pick. And that the fact of the matter is, even if you make, like y'all know you guys were talking about the draft pick with the 32nd pick, you know, where the Bears could have had a high, second round pick. There's no guarantee that pick would have been any good anyway. So at least Claypool has shown progress. I mean, he has shown, playmaking ability.
Chase.
Well, when he was in his first rookie season, he did play well in his rookie year. I know
Chase, follow-up question. Your last name is not Claypool, right? Just confirm. Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
No.
I didn't think it was, sure.
That's a good one, Mella.
No problem. Chase, we appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the call, as always.
Have a good morning.
You too. Right. No, and it's, I think it's fair. Listen, you got to give Chase Claypool time to play it out. It's not like you can go back and retroactively rescind the trade. They made their bed. They have to lie in it, and it's okay. I don't believe that when he made the deal, Ryan Poles thought in his head that he could be giving up. You know, I don't think he really envisioned a scenario where they're going to end up with the first overall pick. But that is certainly in play now at this point. And Chase is right. They landed the Ravens second-round pick for Roquan Smith. And truth be told, if they don't make that deal, I don't think they would have necessarily traded and gave up what they did for Chase Claypool. I'm not sure they would have made the same deal if they hadn't made the Roquan deal earlier, a day earlier.
Yeah, I don't think you're giving up a second-round pick. I feel like Bears fans don't forget that they still have that back pocket pick in the second round of the Ravens, but you see the disparity in the pick. The Ravens are a team that's already clinched a playoff spot, and that pick's going to be in the high mid-20s when it's all said and done of the second round.
Yeah, so you're talking a pick in the late 50s, or, you know, in all likelihood. And truth be told, Roquan goes ahead and makes a Pro Bowl, and it looks like, you know, from if you read the reports, it sounds like the Ravens are going to do their best to sign Roquan Smith up long term. So, you know, they're more than happy with what they got for the deal, whereas the Bears, you know, who weren't going to, in all likelihood, sign Roquan Smith to a deal, have to live with what they got in this scenario. And hopefully Chase Claypool can get out onto the field, if not this season, next season, prove that it was a smart decision. We'll see. Still time for it to play out before we know for sure. 312-332-3776. I'm Jeff Meller. He's Tyler Aki. In for Cap and Jay Hood. Animal Stories next.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Lions, Tigers, and Bears, oh my.
Bears.
What's going on today in the animal kingdom? Chimps throwing feces? Wild boars snacking on faces? Cougar on the loose?
Yes, sir.
Perhaps some horny mammals humping? Let's find out together. Animal Stories on Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000.
It is time for Animal Stories here at Cap and J-Hood. Jeff Meller, Tyler Aki filling in for the guys today. We will crosstalk with Carmen and Sylvie coming up at 10 o'clock. That's right, Carmen and Sylvie, or do you say Sylvie and Carmen, Tyler?
I think it goes Sylvie and Carmen, right?
It did back in the day.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
Yes. But not everybody knows that. I'm probably one of the very few people who know the actual order of it. But Sylvie and Carmen, Carmen and Sylvie coming your way at 10 o'clock. We'll crosstalk with the guys at 10 and see what they have in store. I don't see any band getting ready to save the music today, so we'll have to ask them if they have a band ready for the noon hour. My guess is probably not, but maybe we'll be pleasantly surprised. I don't know.
All right,
Charlie. Fire away with today's animal story on Cap and Jay Hood.
Yeah, how about a nice little wholesome animal story today?
Wholesome?
Yeah, why not?
Does it have to be?
I could give you a very depressing one.
Yeah.
Well, depressing. I don't know if I went depressing.
Let's hear it.
What do you think, Merck? Should we go depressing or uplifting?
No, not depressing. Uplifting. Let's go uplifting. It's the holiday season. Okay.
Well, the holidays are over.
We still got one more. Yeah, we got New Year's
Eve, baby.
That's a new slate. That's a fresh slate.
That's a new year.
That's not an uplifting holiday.
It's part of the holiday season, my friend.
All right.
Let's keep it uplifting.
Yeah, right. How about this?
Yeah.
So we had Zeppelin, a 3-year-old German Shepherd mix, was lost last year in California. It was gone for an entire year, and the owners just found them in Kansas. Gone for an entire year, came back just in time for Christmas. It ended up all the way in Kansas.
So
on the loose.
Was the dog chipped? Do you know?
Yes.
All right.
So there is a theory. The owner has a theory that it walked down to the construction site because the dog would go there a lot and it would get fed there a lot. And then all of a sudden the owner went down and it was gone. And then less than a year later, like I said, right before Christmas, somebody found the dog, brought it to the vet and it was chipped, and they returned the dog home for Christmas.
There you go. Nice heartwarming story. You want the depressing one, Tyler?
Yeah, give me the depressing one. Let's go. Come on.
Let's go. Let's go. A little column A, a little column B here.
All right.
So yin and yang.
Are you familiar with the Shiba Inu Doge meme?
Of course. You know, I don't know if you know, Charlie, I am a Shiba Inu owner, so I'm
very... Oh, that's right.
I'm very familiar with it. Actually, Here, I show you,
there you go, my screensaver. By the way, your flashlight's on.
It just flipped on. I realized that.
Go ahead. You're familiar with this meme, right? Like, the whole, like, it's turned around, it looks all silly. Well, the Shiba Inu behind Doge has been diagnosed with leukemia and liver disease.
All right.
You wanted a depressing story, Tyler?
You, sir, I'm pointing at Tyler. There you go. Are a jag. That was unnecessary.
This is a meme, right?
Like, no, but there's the actual dog that turned into the meme that is used for the meme.
I think we needed something to balance this out here, right? Something to balance this out.
It's in quote dangerous condition, Tyler. Yeah. Kabosu.
Right. So there's still sucks. There's all right. You guys are calling out me. What if it rallies? What if the dog rallies?
I don't know that it's going to rally.
Then this will be an uplifting story.
Look how old this meme is now.
We're not there yet, man. Ugh. All right, that one was a bit of a bummer there. I'm not going to lie. Tyler, thanks for bringing us all down.
Waddle always says, I'm too young to be this cynical.
You are, absolutely. I agree with that. Ugh. All right, try and bring us back. All right, so let's turn to the Bears head coach. He's trying to put positive spin on things. Matt Eberflus met the media yesterday and was asked the talent around Justin Fields, is it enough when he's making decisions about where they're at as a franchise?
Yeah, I just think that, you know, when you're a quarterback, you're going to have adversity during the course of the season. You're going to have some linemen out. You're going to have some, you know, skill sets that aren't going to be there, and he's got to figure that out. You know, we have to figure that out as coaches. You know, we have to be able to figure it out and maneuver. How do we move the ball down the field when this person X is out or person Z is out? And we just got to figure it out. It's good for the coaches, too, as well as Justin.
One more from Matt. How has Fields done with the current supporting cast?
I think he's done well. I mean, if you look at how he's progressed during the course of the year with all the different lineups up front, with all the different receiver lineups, with losing Herbert for quite an extended period of time, I think he's done well, you know, and he's improved his game. And we're excited to see where these last two games are going.
I would agree. I think he's done about as good as can be expected when you consider what he's been surrounded by. Coming into the season, I thought their skill position players in terms of, like, compared to the rest of the league were amongst the worst in the league.
Yeah.
And the fact that they have been hit hard with injuries, two guys like Darnell Mooney, and as you heard, Khalil Herbert, Dave Montgomery, both hurt at different times of the season. Justin Fields has found a way to be productive all year, and I think really anybody who was unsure about whether he would be the long-term answer, Justin Fields is not in question right now. He still needs to get better, but you know, he is a position where you feel like you're going to move forward with him and at least see what he's going to do. I'm not saying he's locked in a big second contract with the team just yet. I still think you need to see him play at a better level with better players around him, but we're trending in the right direction at the very least.
I think about it too. He's had one constant in terms of a weapon around him all season long, and it's Cole Kmet. And we've seen them grow. Each of them have taken a step forward this year. So when he's had that time to develop that chemistry with Cole Kmet, that's certainly been a nice thing for this Bears team. I think the other thing, too, is he brought it up when we played the cut earlier about him talking about the losing streak and the frustrations of losing and why a win would be important for him and the team. This is a guy who, over the course of his college career, lost four games. And that includes when he was at Georgia and didn't really play in that one season where he was with the Bulldogs. He lost four games. Two of them, or three of them, came in the college football playoff.
Yep.
Too. This is a guy that's not used to doing that, and he's lost eight in a row. He's probably never lost eight of anything in a row in his entire life. Mm-hmm. When you're as high level of an athlete as he is.
Yeah, you normally at high school and college level, and that's certainly been, you know, the story of his career, he affects the game more so than anybody else, or has been, or has throughout most of his life. So you're right. The losing that he's experiencing this year has got to be for him, outside of last year, you know, a first in all reality, eight in a row.
And that's why it's frustrating for him. And I get why he would want to win games. As Bears fans who want a number one overall pick, we obviously view it differently.
Let's try Eddie on the north side. Hey, Eddie, what's going on?
Hey, boys. Yeah, well, you're right about a question on a second contract when you got 23 touchdowns and 20 interceptions in 2 years. You know, we're not giving a contract to a running back. We want to give a contract to a quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but don't pay running backs, right, Eddie?
Yeah, well, no, exactly. Well, I'd be, like, mad if I was the running back on the Bears. It's like, wow, this guy's taking away my runs. So I'm going to look bad when I go for my contract.
Well, Eddie, how many 50-yard touchdowns does David Montgomery have this year?
Yeah, I know.
How many 50-yard touchdowns does Khalil Herbert have this year?
But not a lot of running backs throughout the league have had that many big runs and everything.
So Justin Fields does something special.
Yeah, I know. All of them run now. And all the ones
but how many of them have 50-yard touchdowns?
What?
How many of them have 50-yard touchdowns?
None. So that's a freak thing that happens.
Is it a freak thing when it happens three times in a season? Three, four, five times?
But what would you say if I said we're talking about a quarterback that you guys didn't comment on that, 23 touchdowns and 20 interceptions in 2 years? And I'm not even going to throw out the yardage because that's horrid, too.
Well, I'll say.
But what would you say about that?
So, Eddie, I would say that offensively, you're right. Like, he's the way they've gone about it, the Bears scoring points, it's not a traditional manner. And yes, I would like to see them cut down on interceptions. And I think I've you know, said it numerous times on the station that what we're seeing from Justin this year, Tyler and I specifically said it, right? This is likely the highest rushing total you'll ever see from him. And, you know, Tyler's made the point, at least the highest rushing attempts you ever expect to see from Justin Fields. I don't think going forward you're going to ask him to continue to do this. But the key is... But the key is that they're scoring points, right? Like, that's the one thing where the Bears, as long as you're scoring points, how do you get, you know, I'm not so concerned about the throwing touchdowns, but as long as the offense, you know, is better than it's been in the past, and it does need to get better. They haven't been good enough, but what I've seen from Justin Fields, I hope when there's more talent around him, the offense will continue to improve with him.
About the last 2 weeks here, forget about it. I mean, these last 2 weeks are just like the bowl games in college. The guys have checked out already. You know, if you have any significance of being a star and everything like that, you're gone by halftime. So making, you know that about fantasy, making same game parlays on these individuals, be very careful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to be happy about the Bears winning games against second stringers on the Minnesota. Come on.
Well, no.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you're right, Eddie, and thanks for the call as always. You're right. I don't think any of us are going to take any stock in the Bears winning a couple of games over the next couple of weeks. Like, the season has played out at this point. Winning games for the final 2 weeks are only actually going to hurt the organization.
Yeah.
Because it's going to hurt your draft status, right? Yeah. And I understand, though, you're not going to ask your players to go out and tank deliberately. That's not something any professional athlete really, I think, can get on board with or be in the right headspace. But the truth is, I think what you're seeing from the Bears, where they're shutting down players who have any types of, who are banged up at all, in Jalen Johnson, in Jack Sanborn, you know, in Kendall Vildor, I think as an organization, they're approaching it in a way where you can say, okay, they're not deliberately tanking, but they're doing everything in their power to ensure that the team, you know, is in the best position moving forward.
We call it tanking. That front office is calling it playing it safe.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
And just to kind of show the turnaround that Fields has had, let's look at the last 8 games that Justin Fields has had. He's accounted for 19 touchdowns, so just 5 turnovers. Like, that's impressive stuff there. And
again, how many times can we say it? Look at what he's surrounded by, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's doing that with receivers that, I mean, I'll be honest. Like, come on. Again, Darnell Mooney is a nice number two who was asked to be the number one in this offense, right? We haven't seen anything from Chase Claypool, you know, all season long. Like, Equanimeous St. Brown's a nice blocker.
Yeah.
But he's a receiver. So the truth is, like, what he's working with is, you know, probably about, this could be as bad a receiving core that he will work with in the entirety of his career. It's very possible what he has right now is the worst wide receivers he ever has as a quarterback.
Yeah. So. I mean, you even look at what he had in college, too. I think you'd take that group of college guys over what he has right now.
Not even close. 312-332-3776. Mel Arnacki in for Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000.
Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
ready for the Pinstripe Bowl coming your way at 1 o'clock today?
I will be locked into it, actually.
Yes, you will, yeah. Won't you? Syracuse, Minnesota. Pinstripe Bowl.
I hate bowl season. I'm done with it.
And I say, coming your way after that will be the Cheez-It Bowl when Oklahoma takes on Florida State, number 13 Florida State. Yeah, the problem for, there was a time when bowl season was actually fun. Probably before you really got going and aware. But there was a time, I think at some point around the turn of the century, bowl season kind of turned into something that is not at all interesting. There was a time when they didn't have a college football playoff, Young Charlie Bevins behind the glass. There was a time when bowls actually meant you had to go out, win your bowl, and then it was left into the hands of the AP and the Associated Press and the coaches' poll, and they had to decide and vote based on what they saw in the bowl games who was the national championship. It was a much simpler time.
Yeah.
It caused a lot of chaos, but it actually made bowl season a lot more interesting and a lot more fun in regards to when you were outside of your bet. That's the only thing that kind of salvages, I think, bowls nowadays is gambling on them.
That's true.
That gives you an interest, right?
Yeah.
But there was a time when watching bowl games, you would, on January 1st, would actually, you knew all the games that were going to be played. You knew the names of every bowl game that was being played. Mm-hmm. You probably looked forward to the matchup well before the day of.
You probably knew the teams, too.
Absolutely. You knew the players who were involved. You knew the players. Nobody was going to duck out because they wanted to protect their draft status. Mm-hmm. It really did build up, I think, college football into a whole different sport than what we consume now. The playoff, unfortunately, and you had the BCS championship for a little while there when it actually was, it was just when the BCS title game, do you remember that, Tyler, or were you still too young? Mm-hmm. Before they ushered in the college football playoff, the BCS title game was the first iteration where they would, match up the top two teams,
right,
and it wouldn't be decided by a vote. And that actually, I thought, people got mad because they always felt like a team was getting left out, which brought on the current college football playoff system that we have, which I think sucks.
You're not a fan of it?
I just think, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, mm-hmm, but the semifinals, whether it's the fact that they do it on a Saturday and it doesn't seem to, it's been on New Year's Eve a few times, the matchups have been bad.
Yeah.
They only lead to, the national champion. We've had one or two compelling matchups over whatever it is, the 10 games that we've actually had.
Yeah, I think the semifinal games there's been an average margin of victory by over three touchdowns the course of this college football playoff. And that's part of why I'm in favor of expanding the playoff, is because none of these bowl games mean anything, right? All we do now is dump mayonnaise and French fries and Cheez-Its on coaches. That's the end product of these bowl games now. I just think that by expanding the playoff, you create more meaningful bowl games. And at the end of the day, that's what fans want to see. They want to see games that have meaning to them.
Yes, and not just a random game on a Thursday afternoon that I placed a bet on, so I have an interest in, right? Mm-hmm. I want to go see Kansas, push it to triple overtime so I can A, cover, and B, hit the over.
Mm-hmm.
Simpler times. He's Tyler Aki. I'm Jeff Meller. We've been in for Cap and Jay Hood. We're going to crosstalk with Carmen and Sylvie next, right after the Cap and Jay Hood Cut of the Day, brought to you by Chicago Cut.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
For a graduation gift from college, I actually purchased for my wife every Care Bear. She had, I kid you not.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All